We begin the current daf Masechet Yuma, daf Pei Beis. We begin on the top of the Yomit, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnahs, which the theme of this parak is talking about the halachas of the Inuyim, of the halachas of Yom Kippur, including those halachas are the Chamish Inuyim, the five afflictions that a person has to afflict themselves on Yom Kippur. One of them, one of the most prominent, is that of the prohibition of eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. So our Mishnah continues on that theme and tells us that Hatinoikos ein ma'ananois of Yom Kippur. However, we do not have to afflict children on Yom Kippur, and what that means is we don't have to stop them from eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. Avol mechanchen oisin. However, we do begin the halachas of chinuch, of training them into the mitzvah of fasting on Yom Kippur, which is we first begin with fasting a certain amount of hours on Yom Kippur till when they become an adult, that they could then go ahead and fast the entire day. Now, when do we begin this chinuch process regarding this halacha of fasting on Yom Kippur? That's lifnei shana, that's before the year. Now, as Rashi explains, what year are we talking about that we begin before that year? We're talking about the year which is the year before they turn an adult. Now, as Rashi explains, there's a discrepancy between when a girl becomes an adult and a boy becomes an adult. A girl becomes an adult when she reaches age of 12, which could be a little confusing with Talmudic terminology, which is 13, because when a girl becomes 12, she's in her 13th year. That's when you become 12 years old. And the boy becomes an adult when he's 13, which is in his 14th year. And the reason for that difference is because the halachas of becoming a gadol or a gadola depend on when you get two sires by the pubic area. And by a boy, that's generally but when he turns 13. And by a girl, that's generally when she turns 12. So now, when our mission is telling us that we begin the chinuch of fasting for a certain amount of hours before the year, we mean to say when the boy turns 11 years old, which is the year before the year, which is the year before when he becomes an adult. So therefore, when he turns an adult, is 13. Now, the shana, that is before that, is 12. Lifnei shana, before that year, is when the boy is 11 years old. V'lifnei shatayim, and also 2 years before that year, which is, that's when the boy is 10 years old. Now, the Gemara is going to ask, if we're saying already now at the latter part of the Mishnah that we begin the chinuch of fasting when the boy is already 10 years old, which is 2 years before the year before, so why do we have to say that lifnei shana, that we begin when he's 11 years old fasting for a certain amount of hours, if we're already telling you that we start at age 10? However, the Mishnah concludes the reason why we do this, that we start fasting for a certain amount of hours, is b'shvil sheyi regilim b'mitzvah, so that the children should be accustomed to performing mitzvahs. That is, we can't expect them when they become 13 or 12 respectively, then suddenly just start when they had a life not related to mitzvahs at all because they weren't obligated biblically. Therefore, the halacha of chinuch requires that from earlier ages, we start training them into that, and related to halachas of fasting Yom Kippur, that would apply to fasting for a certain amount of hours, again, when the boy is either 10 or 11. So the Gemara asks the obvious question. You say that before 2 years before, which again, as we explained, means to say that already from age 10, we begin training in the boy for fasting a certain amount of hours in Kippur. So a year before that year, which again, we're explaining is from age 11. Do you have to say that you're going to start having him fast for a certain amount of hours? We already said a year before you really start. So Rav Chiz says, loikash, it's not a difficulty, because they actually for two different types of children. Ha, where we said that it's 2 years before, that's b'chayla. That's by a child that's weak and doesn't have so much energy to be able to withhold fasting for this amount of hours. So there you start when the boy's 11. Ha, b'bari, when we said that it's 3 years before, when the boy is already even 10, that's by a healthy child, and therefore depending on the status of the child, that will depend if it's 2 years before or 3 years before. Again, what we're calling lifnei shana, lifnei shtayim, is if it's a year before the year or 2 years before the year that's before, which again would be age 10, 11, respectively. Now, that's the explanation of the Mishnah. However, the Gemara is going to bring different Amaroic opinions regarding this general topic, and then we'll ask, how do they interpret what we're defining as the criteria that our Mishnah sets forth? So our Mishnah brings it as follows. Our Gemara brings it as follows. Amar Rabbuna. Rabbuna says, Ben Ches, a child that is 8 years old, that's a healthy child, that is already, again, regarding Talmudic terminology, it has already passed through its eighth year, now going into its ninth year, which, again, we called a child that's 8 years old. And as we're going to explain, this is regarding a girl, where we're talking about 4 years before she becomes an adult. Ubentes, and also a girl that's 9 years old, where that's for a girl that's not so healthy, where we're talking about that she's already entering her 10th year, which is 3 years before she becomes an adult. So we train in that type of a girl to fast for a certain amount of hours. Ben Yud, a girl that's healthy, that has already passed through her 10th year, again going into her 11th year, what we call a 10-year-old girl. Uven Yud Aleph, and the girl that's 11, which again we're talking about for a girl that's not so healthy and strong, where she's going into her 12th year, which again what we call 11 years old, that already you have to up the ante. Mashlimim Midrabanan. There, rabbinically, she has to complete the fast. Ben Yud Beis, when the girl is 12 years old, which again, that's entering her, in other words, she started her 13th year, then Mashlimim Midrabanan, and then she has to complete, biblically, the fast Min HaTorah on Yom Kippur, which is because now she's already reached adulthood. And again, B'tinaik is this that we just described to you, what Rav Huna was talking about. I was talking about a girl. Now, regarding this, when she reaches 12, that's whether she's healthy or not so healthy. Obviously, there's no danger to life, but either way, then she would have to fast midday raisa. Again, so that was the three different categories that apply to a girl, which is first, depending on if your bar yochaila will differentiate in the rabbinic laws, first, regarding fasting for a certain amount of hours, then, as she gets older, fasting the entire fast rabbinically, and then, once she reaches adulthood, where there's no discrepancy between bar and chayla, when she reaches 12, then she has to fast the entire day of kippur midday raisa. That was what Rav Huna said. Rav Nachman says, like as Rashi explains, Rav Nachman's not coming to argue Rav Huna, just that Rav Huna was discussing how that plays out regarding a girl, and Rav Nachman is going to be talking about how that plays out regarding a boy. So Rav Nachman says, Ben Tes Ben Yud Mechan Chanos L'Shoyes, when a boy is 9 or 10, respectively, depending if he's healthy or not so strong, then he begins to fast for a certain amount of hours. Ben Yud Aleph, Ben Yud Beis, Mashlimim Draban. Then when he's 11 or 12, again, depending how strong he is, he completes the entire fast rabbinically. Ben Yud Gimel, Mashlimim Medei Raisa. When he's 13, then he fasts the entire fast of Yom Kippur. Minat Torah, that again is talking about Betinig by a boy. Now, that was the opinion of Rav Nachman Rav Huna, who was essentially saying the same thing, just one was discussing a girl, one was discussing a boy. Rabbi Yechonamar, he argues on them. He says, Hashlama Drabanan Leka. There is no halacha of rabbinic completions of the fast. The only time you have to complete the fast is when you reach 13 or 12 for a girl or a boy respectively, but beforehand, rabbinically, we do not mandate completions of the fast. Rather, he holds, Ben Yud, Ben Yud Aleph, Mechanchen Oysa L'Shoyes, when a girl is either 11, a 10 or 11, again, accordingly, if she's healthy or not, then you complete the fast with according to the hours. You do a certain amount of hours. Ben Yud Beis, Mashlim Midereis, however, when she reaches 12, that's when she completes the fast midday, right? So there is no three steps. There's only two steps, rabbinic fasting for a certain amount of hours, and then biblical fasting the entire fast. Now, the Gemara asks, from Tanan, we learned our Mishnah. And now we're going to have to try to see how they fit into the terminologies that our Mishnah says. Our Mishnah said, HaTinoikos, Ein Ma'an Noisa B'Yom Kippur. We do not afflict children on Yom Kippur. Avol Mechantcha Noisa. However, our Mishnah says, however, we do train them in for a certain amount of hours. That is Lifnei Shana, that is before a year before, as we explained already in the Mishnah, that means really 2 years before, because it's the year before. For Lifnei Shtayim, and 2 years before, which again, as we explained, it really means 3 years before. Now, so the Gemara asks as follows. Bishlem Rav Huna Rav Nachman, we could explain our Mishnah according to the opinions of Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. They said as follows. They said there were three stages. They said there is a stage of Hashlama, rabbinically, to complete the entire fast. Now, although according to them, the chinuch of a healthy child is 4 years before they reach adulthood, you could explain the Mishnah according to them that our Mishnah is discussing a not such a healthy child, what we're calling in the Gemara, a chayla. And what the Mishnah is telling us is that we train in the children for a certain amount of hours, lifnei shana v'lifnei shtayim, again, which means 2 years before or 3 years before, because lifnei shana means to say before the year, in other words, before that year before, or before the 2 years before. Now, the explanation would be that they're really talking about the same thing, just giving different ways of explaining it. And that is, it means lifnei shana l'divrehem, which is a year before the rabbinic time, which is lifnei shtayim, which the Gersa changes it, l'divrei tayr, which is 2 years before the biblical phase, which is as follows, as Rashi explains. That, like Rav Huna had said, that in the 10th year, when the child is 9 years old, then if she's not such a healthy child, then she has to fast for a certain amount of hours, which is a year before, again, which is when the girl is 10 years old, when she reaches the time of rabbinic completion of the fast, which is when she's 11, which is going into the 12th year, which is also 2 years before the biblical time of when you have to be mashlim the fast, which is when the girl is 12 years old. And therefore, essentially, they're both simanim to describe a 9-year-old girl. Again, a 9-year-old girl, according to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, they were just saying one was talking about a boy, one was talking about a girl. When she's 9 years old, when she's healthy, then she has to start at 8 years old. When she's a chayla, so we're going to say that they're telling us that the Mishnah is talking about a case of a chayla, which is the one that has the less amount of starting beforehand, starts at 9 years old. Now, that's what that Mishnah means, that we start fasting for a certain amount of hours before Yom Kippur for children a year before, which again, we mean means to say 2 years before, and Lefnei Shesayim, which means 3 years before, which means to say the year before the rabbinic time. So, in other words, a year before the rabbinic time is you have to complete it when you're 11 years old. Biblically, only 12 years old. Now, Lefnei Shana, which we say means to say the year before the year, and that's what the term means, Lefnei Shana, doesn't mean it within that previous year, it means a year before that year before, which means to say 2 years before when rabbinically, it means it's age 9, which is also the same as saying Lefnei Shnasayim, before 2 years, which is really 3 years, before when she reaches biblical age. So 12 biblically, 11 rabbinically, translate as age 9 accordingly. So a chayla tinaikis starts at age 9. That's how we can explain our Mishnah according to Rav Huna Rav Nachman. El Rav Yechanan Kasha, according to Rav Yechanan, our Mishnah is difficult. According to him, there is no explanation for what our Mishnah means to say. Because Rav Yechanan said that there is no middle phase of rabbinically completing the fast for a child before they reach adulthood. To say that our Mishnah is saying one thing the way we explain the Kondra of Huner of Nachman, who we said that Lefnei Shana of Lefnei Shnasayim, they explained it not like the way Rav Chisda explained it, as we started off our Gemara, that depending if it's a healthy or a not healthy child, they said that they're both talking about the same age of 9 for a non-healthy girl. It's just giving us two different ways of defining it, either a year before the rabbinic or 2 years before the biblical. So, and but Rabbi Yochanan can't say that because it doesn't hold up being mashlim. Now, you can't either say, like the way Rav Chisda said, that Lefnei Shana was talking about a chayla, and Lefnei Shnasayim was talking about a healthy child, because that would come out that our Mishnah is saying that 3 years for a healthy child and 2 years for an ill child. But Rabbi Yechanan says that it's only 2 years for a healthy child and 1 year for an ill child, because as Rabbi Yechanan said, he doesn't have that middle phase of completing the fast. It's only completing for a certain, only doing a certain amount of hours, which we said that for a girl, when she reaches 12, that's when biblically she has to start. So 11, that's when you begin for the not such a healthy girl, and 10 for a girl that is healthy. However, according to our Mishnah, it comes out that it's either age 9 or 10, and according to the way Rabbi Yechanan would be saying it. Now, according to, or either age 8 or 9. Now, how does Rabbi Yechanan understand what our Mishnah is coming to say of Lefnei Shana, of Lefnei Shnasayim? There is no such thing, according to Rabbi Yechanan. He can't hold the explanation of Rav Chisda, that it means Habachayla Habibari, because that would come out 2 years before, 3 years before, and according to Rabbi Yechanan, is only either 1 year before or 2 years before. And neither could he say, like Rav Huna Rav Nachman, because he doesn't hold that it could mean once talking about the rabbinical time, that's when you start the hours before when you complete it rabbinically, or 2 years before when you complete it biblically, because he doesn't hold of rabbinical completion. So that Amlech Rabbi Yechanan would tell you, my Shnana Oishtaim, what does the Mishnah mean to say when it says a year or two before, not to learn the way our Mishnah says, of before a year, which we were all along translating, which might sound hard to understand, but the Mishnah tells us that you begin Mechanchel Nei, say, Lifnei Shana, which we were translating all along, before the year before, which again really means 2 years. And we said Lifnei Shtayim means to say before 2 years before, which means 3 years before. Rather, he learns that with Mechanchel them, Samach Lepirkan, close to when they become an adult. In other words, Lefnei Shana really means to say that year before that they become an adult, which is for when she's ill, or 2 years before, which means within those 2 years when she's a healthy child. So it's either 10 and 11, not 9 and 10. So the way it's coming out, Kontra Yechanan, he's changing the understanding of Lefnei Shana that we were assuming up until now, that it means before the year before, which is 2 years. Lefnei Shana was before the 2 years before, which is 3 years. He's saying no, that you begin before a year of adulthood for a not healthy child, that's a chayla. So similar to the way Rav Chizda said that lefnei shana, lefnei shnasayim, one's ill and one's healthy. And however, but he's not saying it as in a year before the year, but rather lefnei shana means to say age 11, and lefnei shnasayim means age 10, exactly like he said, that that's when you begin the chinuch of fasting for a certain amount of hours, because he doesn't hold that there's another phase in between of completing it rabbinically. Now that we explained this machlekes of the different interpretations of our Mishnah, and also regarding the halachas of what are the phases, so the Gemara says, Toshma, I come and hear a raya that seems to be Nalik Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. The Tani, Rabbi Bar Shmuel, he taught the following braisa. Tinoikos ein ma'anen oisib Yom Kippur, like our Mishnah said, that we do not afflict, we don't make children fast on Yom Kippur. Av mechantcha noisan shana oishtayim samach al pirkin. But however, we do train them in to fast a certain amount a year or two before they become adults. Now, it doesn't say over here the terminology of our Mishnah, lifnei shana over lifnei shtayim, that we could then translate it like Rav Huna, Rav Nachman were translating it, which means, say, a year before a year, which is 2 years, and lifnei shtayim would mean 3 years before, which would then, that's how they held, that's what you do chenach. And therefore, the Gemara asks as follows. Bishlam Rabbi Yechanicha, this terminology of this braisa works very well with Rabbi Yechanan, because that's what he said. A year before is for a girl that's ill, 2 years before that you begin for chinuch, which is fasting for a certain amount of hours, for a healthy girl. Because Rabbi Yechanan doesn't hold of any completion rabbinically. So yes, 11 for a not such a healthy girl, she fasts a certain amount of hours. Next year she's already chayiv midiraisa. And for a healthier girl, 2 years before. But not earlier like Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. But El Rav Huna, Rav Nachman Kasher, according to them, it's difficult. Because according to them, fasting, doing chinuch, which is what we're defining as chinuch, as training them in slowly but surely, which is for a certain amount of hours, according to them, the least amount a child could be trained in for a certain amount of hours is 3 years. Because Rav Huna said that regarding a girl that's ill, that's not such a strong girl, that we train her in from when she's starting her 10th year, which is when she's 9 years old. And the healthier girl is actually from 8 years old. However, the Brice is teaching us that the largest amount of chinuch, which we're saying means to say fasting for a certain amount of hours, is 2 years before when she's 10 years old. So therefore that contradicts Rav Huna and Nachman, because they said that, to the contrary, the smallest amount is 9, the largest is when she's 8. And here we see in the Brayis said not like that, it sounds like that 11 is the least and 10 is the most. So Amalek Rabban would tell you, my chinuch and amik tani, what does this Brayis mean when it says that we train them in chinuch a year or two before they become adults? That means hashlama. That means rabbinically completing the fast. And that's the same, like we said. We said that 2 years before, for a healthy girl, she completes it rabbinically. And 1 year before, rabbinically, when she's ill. And then when she reaches 12, then she fasts biblically. And therefore, it's not difficult, because although it uses the terminology mechantcha noisan, which we had translated in our Mishnah, meaning to say for a certain amount of hours, in this braisa, mechantcha noisan means a chinuch of completing the fast, which is 10 and 11, respectively. On that, the Gemara asked, Mikar lechinuch hashlama, do we call? Because that's how we're trying to translate this braisa, that chinuch means completion of the fast, not like the way we had translated in our Mishnah, that means fasting for a certain amount of hours. But Vatayim, in the braisa, that seems to clearly illustrate that when we say the term chinuch, we mean only for a certain amount of fast. Because the braisa says, Eze chinuch, what is the halacha of chinuch that applies to the fasting Yom Kippur? If the child was accustomed to eating 2 hours, then machil naisa l'shoz, then we only feed them 3 hours into the day. B'shalish, machil naisa b'arba, if the child was accustomed to waiting a little bit longer in the day, they only have to eat generally 3 hours into the day, then you make them wait an hour longer to fast a little bit longer, so that to train them in fasting Yom Kippur to eat in the fourth hour. However, we see clearly that the term chinuch refers to not completion, but only for a certain amount of hours. And if that's the case, then the braisa is a difficulty contra Rav Huna and Nachman, because you see from the braisa that it's when they're 10 and 11, not the way they said, which is from 8 and 9. So Amar Rav Ba'ula, it's not difficult, because trei chinuchi have it. There are two types of chinuch regarding the halachas of fasting Yom Kippur, according to Rav Huna and Nachman, and therefore it's not difficult. One braisa, the one that says that the chinuch is for ages 10 and 11. That was talking about the chinuch of completion of the fast. The other braisa that talks about what's the chinuch that is talking about for a certain amount of hours to fast, that was talking about a different type of chinuch, where according to Rav Huna and Nachman, that's ages 8 and 9, and therefore it's not difficult according to them, because there's different types of chinuch, one of fasting per hours, and one of completing of the fast rabbinically, which is ages 10 and 11. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme of fasting on Yom Kippur. However, the Mishnah brings exceptions, heterim, for people to eat on Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah tells us that Ubra Shehericha, a pregnant woman that smelled the aroma of food, and that is, as Rashi explains, as the Gemara will elaborate on this, there is the fetus inside the woman, the pregnant woman, is what really smells that cooked dish. Now, the fetus desires that food, and if the mother doesn't eat the food, they're both in danger of their lives, the fetus and the mother. And therefore, the Mishnah tells us, "Machil naisa atcha tashav nafsha," we give the mother to eat until she calms down, until she's okay, because of the danger to life, to her, and to the fetus. Similarly, the Mishnah tells us, "Chayla," an ill person, "Machil naisa al pibakin," we give him to eat only through the testimony of professionals, and that is, if two doctors say that this person is in danger of their life if they don't eat, then we give the ill person to eat. Now, if there's no doctors around and the person, it looks like in danger of life, then machil naisa piasmai, we give him to eat based on his own testimony, saying, "I need to eat," until he says enough, and just based on his own testimony, we will allow him to eat on Yom Kippur. So Tarban, the Gemara brings a brayse that elaborates on this halacha about the need for a pregnant woman to eat in certain situations, if not, it will be a danger to her life. The brayse tells that uber shehericha b'sar kodesh oy b'sar chazer. If the pregnant woman smells the meat of hektish or the meat of a swine, both of them being prohibited to regular people to eat, a non-kohen is not allowed to eat kachim, and similarly, a Jewish person is not allowed to eat chazer. However, if she smells it and she desires it, then teichven la kush beraitiv, then we stick a spindle into the juice, into the soup of that meat that's being cooked, umanlichin la alpia, and we put it by her mouth, and she sucks on that spindle. Now, ibn siyash v'daita mutiv, if she calms down, if it helps her focus and help her not be in danger of life anymore, so that's good. We'd rather not violate such a great violation. So now here she's just sucking on the spindle that was dipped into this gravy. Vimlav, and if that doesn't help, mechil noisa reitav asma, we should actually give her the gravy, the soup itself to drink. If that's enough to help her calm down, then fine. Vimlav, if that doesn't work, then mechil noisa shuman asma, we give her the fats itself of this prohibited item, whether it be kachim or the chazer, we give her that to eat. And the reason is, she'ein lecho davar she'eimid b'fnei b'kuch nefesh. There's nothing, there's no prohibition that stands in the way of a danger to a person's life. Chutz, there are three exceptions. Mevodah zara, idol worship, v'gilai ra'is, illicit relations, v'shvichas damim, and bloodshed. So one can violate any prohibition to save a person's life, except for these three things. As the Gemara asks, avodah zara minolam, where do we know that one's not allowed to worship an idol to save a life? The time like learning a braisa, Rabbi Elazar Imri says in the pasuk in Krishma, he asks, imnebr b'chol nafshecho, if the pasuk tells you that you have to love Hashem with all your soul, why does it say you have to love Hashem then further with all your resources, which generally means all your money? And if it says with all your resources, why does it say with all your soul? As Rashi explains, why didn't you just choose the most dear of the two, and then you'll know for sure that the one that's not as dear, in other words, which one's more precious to people, their life or their money, whichever one it is, pick the greater one. And if you have to serve Hashem, in other words, to give up your whatever it is that's greater, your life or your money, for Hashem, which the counterpart of that would be worshiping Avodah Zarah, then you'll know the other one. So that Rabbi Elazar says, no, it's coming to teach you that im yesh lecha adam shegufei chavav lamin mayin, if you have a person that his life, his body is more precious to him than his money, but such a person we pick the greater one, you have to serve Hashem with all your soul. V'im yesh lecha adam shemim mayin chavav lamin gufa, but if you have somebody that his money is more precious to him than his body, that's what it says with all resources, whichever one is more precious to you, you have to give that one up to serve Hashem, to love Hashem, which that's where we know this source of you have to be Moisir Nefesh, and also to give up all your money, because it's either one that's greater, to love Hashem, which the opposite of that, which we're talking about the Yichud of Hashem, the unification, which the opposite of that is Avodah Zarah. So if Avodah Zarah, one's not allowed to save his life, actually you have to be Moisir Nefesh, B'chol Nafshecha, when it comes in regards to Avodah Zarah. Now the Gemara asks, Gilai Reis v'shirich adam menol, how do you know the remaining two of illicit relations and bloodshed, that those two are forbidden to save one's life? The time like Linda Breitzer. Rabbi says regarding a pasuk in Devarim that talks about the oinus, the rape of a Naim HaRasa, about a girl that's betrothed, that's engaged to a groom. It says in the pasuk, "Ki kasher yakum ish al ri'ehu," because just like when a person will stand up against his friend uritzachi nefesh and he's going to murder him, kein hadavar hazeh. So too is this idea of when a man is going to be ma'anis a narah marasa. Now the Rebbe asks, "V'chima inin lamadu miritzeich l'narah marasa?" What do we learn out from a murderer to the case of a rapist? To say, look, we're saying that just like the halacha is regarding when someone's coming to murder someone else, kein hadavar hazeh. So too are the halachas of this topic that we're talking about regarding when a man is going to be ma'anis a narah marasa. What halacha do we see from there to compare to that? So Ella, rather, Rebbe tells us, Hareza bo lalamid. It sounds like from the pasuk that the halachas of murderers are coming to teach you something regarding the halacha of a rapist. However, v'nim tzalamid, essentially, really, the halacha of a murderer is being learned out from the halachas of me'anis. And actually, we're learning out ritzeach from narah marasa. So although it sounds like that's coming to teach you something like, oh, although we're talking about in this context of being ma'anis and amirasa, just like by the halachas of ritzeach, so to halachas of ma'anis, it's not really so. It's actually the other way around. Ritzeach is going to be learning from amirasa. And that is ma'an amirasa, just like the betrothed girl. Niten la'atzila b'navshai. The halacha is that the one who's coming to save the girl could save her from the one that's trying to be ma'anis her by the life of the one who's trying to rape her. To save her, if he didn't yet come and be ma'anisa. As the pasuk says in Devarim Chav Beis, it says, Eimashila, there was no one to save her. Which sounds like the diak is, but if there was a savior for her, he could save her under all situations, all circumstances. Which means to say, he could even kill the ma'anis to save the girl. Now, Af Ritzech, that teaches us also, the murderer is the same thing, and the Girsa adds in the words, Nitin l'hatzili b'nafshay. We could save the person who is about to be the victim of the murderer, you could save that victim by killing the murderer. So it's learning out from the narah marasa, just like narah marasa, you could save the victim by killing the ma'anis, the rapist. So too, when it comes to a case of a murderer, when he's coming to murder someone, you could save the victim, the purported victim, by killing the murderer firsthand. However, it also works the other way around. We actually learn something of narah marasa from the halachas of ritzach. And that is ma'ritzech yaharg val yaver, just like the murderer, the halacha is that he has to allow himself to be killed and not violate the isser of murder. And that is, if let's say they tell him, kill this person, kill your friend, if not, we're going to kill you. The halacha is yaharg val yaver, you have to let yourself be killed and not violate this isser, as the Gemara will shortly explain in Amud Beis how we know that. So af narah marasa, that same halacha applies to the narah marasa, and that is, if let's say they tell him that we want you to rape this the girl that's engaged to your friend, or you're going to be killed. So then the same thing applies over there, yaharik val yaver, that he has to allow himself to be killed and not violate this isser of illicit relationships. Now, however, Rashi does clarify that's only regarding the male. But the female does not have to give up her life not to allow herself to have relations with a man that's forbidden to her, because she's not doing anything. She's totally passive. In halachic terminology, that's called karka oilam. She's just like a piece of the ground, because she's not doing any action. They're just doing something to her, and therefore she doesn't have to give up her life. And as Rashi says, the greatest proof of this is Esther. That Esther submitted herself to Ahasuerus. She didn't actually do anything. She was just like a piece of ground where Ahasuerus did what he pleased, and she didn't do anything. That would not require one to give up their life. However, what we are talking about is regarding the male, that he's not allowed to go ahead and do an action of actively violating the isser of illicit relations of Gila Arayas, because that we learn out from the halachas of murder, that just like by murder, one cannot murder to save their life, so too one cannot be boil and amarasa to save their lives. Now, on that the Gemara continues, and Amud Beis asks, V'ritzeach gufi minolan, how do we know regarding murder itself that one has to allow themselves to be killed and not go ahead and violate the isser of murder that we're saying we learn out not Gila Arayas from murder? And that the Gemara says, Svari, it's pure logic. There was a certain individual that came to Rava. Amale, he said to Rava as follows. He says, Amale Mori Durai, the ruler of the village where I live told me, says, Katli Laplanya, I want you to kill that individual. Viloi, if you don't kill him, Katli Nalach, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to murder you. So what should I do? If I don't kill him, I'm going to be killed. So Amale Rava told him, Niktalach Voloi Siktal, let him murder you and you cannot murder him. Because of the following logic. My chazis de damadi dach sumik tve. Where do you see fit that your blood is redder than his blood? In other words, as Rashi explains, What was your havamina? What were you thinking that you're coming to ask me a shayla that should be permitted for you to kill that person to save your life? Probably you're coming from the halacha of v'chai behem, which allows one to violate all yisurim too, because the mitzvahs are there to live by them and not to die by them. Now, the reason is, the logic of that halacha, of that we can override every yisur for pekuch nefashes, is because the life of a Jewish person is so precious in front of Hashem, more than all his commandments that he wants. So Hashem tells us, look, violate the mitzvah so that this person should live. But now Rav was telling him, the logic was, but now that either way there's going to be a Jewish person that's going to be killed, and now that you're going to do it, you're going to be violating the mitzvah too. So why would Hashem deem it better that you should violate his mitzvah? The only reason why he lets you violate his mitzvah is to keep a Jewish life alive. But either way, there's going to be a Jewish life lost over here in this interaction. So therefore, why should you think that Hashem desires your blood more than the blood of your friend? Maybe the blood of your friend is redder than your blood, and therefore don't violate the Isser. Because the whole heter of violating an Isser to save a life is to save a life. But now Hashem's not getting anything out of it, so to speak, because either way a Jewish life is going to be lost. So why violate an Isser anyway? Who said your blood is redder than the blood of your friend? Then therefore, that's how we have the source that you can be over any Avera besides Avodah Zarah, Gila Reis, and Shvichas Damim to save a life. Now the Gemara brings a story, two stories, related to the topic of our Mishnah, which we said a pregnant woman's allowed to eat on Yom Kippur when she smells of food and she desires it because it's a danger to her life. So the Gemara brings a Hahi Urba de Archa. There was this pregnant woman that smelled food on Yom Kippur. Now Asla Kamei de Rebbe. They came to Rebbe to ask him, what should we do? She's smelling it and she has this strong desire to eat. So Amalahu, he said to them, Zilu l'chushula d'yemediki purhu. Go ahead and whisper to her in her ear, tell her that it's Yom Kippur. Maybe she's going to be able to withhold and hold out till the end of Yom Kippur. So l'chushula v'ilchisha. So they whispered to her, and the whispering worked. She received it, and the fetus that was inside of her ceased desiring that food that was smelled. So Kari Allah, so they said regarding the fetus, quoting a pasuk in Yirmiyah. The pasuk says, "Beterem et sarcha babetin." Before I formed you in the womb, yidaticha, I already knew you. B'goyim, in the end of the pasuk here says, "Uveterem teitze mirachem hikdashticha." And before you even left the womb, I already sanctified you. Navi lagoyim nesaticha. And that's what Yirmiyah was saying, that I already made you a prophet for the nations. That is, even when you were a fetus, you already were sanctified. And that's what they were saying in reference to this fetus, that the fetus heard it and said it's Yom Kippur and didn't desire it anymore. And nothing min Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan, the great Rabbi Yechanan, came, was that child. We see that already as a fetus were these characteristics. Whereas Hahi Uber de Archa, there was another story with a pregnant woman that smelled food in Yom Kippur. Asla Kamed Reb Chanina came from the Chanina to say, what should we do? So Amalahu, he said to them, L'chushala, whispered to her that it's Yom Kippur. V'lo Yilchasha, however, she didn't accept it, she still desired the food. Zakari Lao, they said regarding this child, quoting a pasuk in Tehillim, and we continue on the top of Pei Gimel and Aleph, Zuru Rusham, the wicked people, they become Zarim, they become foreigners, and that is, they're like distance from their father in heaven, already Mirachim, already from the womb. And Nafik Minei Shabtai, and that child that came out was Shabtai, Atzeperi, the one who gathered produce, and that's because he gathered produce to hold on to it so that the prices will go up because there's not so much out there in the market. And we learned in the Brisa, Masechtas Baba Basav, Tzadi Omid Beis, that one is not allowed to gather produce of Eretz Yisrael or anything that's a necessary staple for people's lives, because that causes, when you hold on to it, you hoard it, that causes the prices to go up, and therefore that's forbidden. And therefore such a child as Shabtai came out of that child who, even as a fetus, heard that it's Yom Kippur, but did not desist from desiring the food. And that's the contrast between Rabbi Yechon and Shabtai, that as a fetus, the mother was told that it's Yom Kippur, and one fetus stopped desiring, and the other one did not stop desiring.